explosive baradium he'd smuggled out over the years. Because of his fears about blasting on Cinda, every time they'd asked him to plant charges to open up a wall, he'd used a little less. He just hadn't given them back what he didn't use. But if they didn't listen to him now, he'd give it all back. All at once. And so they'd notice. Yes, he would. Hera shook her head as she stepped back onto the street. It had been a calculated risk, freeing Skelly. Her assumption in the detour was that anyone rising up against the Empire, in any way, was worth a look. Some could be helpful. Maybe not yet, but in the movement to come. It was important to know their capabilities. But Skelly would never be of any use. And so she mentally filed him away with dozens of others she'd met just like him. Political activism drew more than its share of crackpots. Some had been legitimately driven to madness by the forces they were fighting against. Some had been damaged by war, as she suspected was the case with Skelly. Some had no excuse. But while such people were always the first to revolt, they almost never led successful revolutions. Action against the Empire would have to be carefully measured. Now, especially. Thus far, Gorse had been a bust. Sunless in more ways than one. Its people wandered robotically between the drudgery of work and the dangers of the streets, sensing neither. Even the human who'd helped her against the street gang, whom she now remembered as the man helping the old-timer on Cinda, might easily fit a ready template. The gadabout, looking for a brawl. That would be disappointing, if so, but not surprising. Like everyone else on Gorse, he was trapped in a role the Empire wanted for him. He'd never be a threat. It was too bad. He seemed to know what he was doing in a fight. But Hera put him out of her mind. Skelly was the side trip. The real goods lay ahead. And she would find them at the establishment whose unsubtle advertisement appeared on her datapad. The Asteroid Belt. The Pits. Gorse City. Okadiah Garson, proprietor. Open all night. Come in and get belted.
Chapter 18.
Hey, lady. I'm talking to you.
The big bruiser was talking to Zaluna, for no one else was on the street. But she'd chosen to keep going, until he kept after her. Just steps behind her, he yelled again.
I said I'm talking to you.
No, you aren't,
she said, continuing to walk through the mud.
If you were talking to me, you'd use my real name.
Picking up his pace, the drunk laughed.
Well, how am I supposed to know who you are?
Precisely.
Zaluna spun and looked keenly at him from beneath her light hood.
Then you have no reason to talk to me, Catechus Braille. Go home to your wife and children.
Face lit by moonlight, the behemoth blanched.
Wait, how do you know who I am?
That's not important, she said,
right hand disappearing in the long, loose sleeve of her poncho, the lightest garment she owned that would conceal her features.
What's important is that you will leave me alone.
Braille guffawed.
If I don't...
Then you will have a talk with this.
Her right hand reappeared from within the sleeve, holding a slim blaster.
Are we through?
The drunk goggled at the weapon's sudden appearance. Then he turned away, staggering off into the steamy night.
Resuming her journey, Zaluna put the blaster back in its hiding place. Glad no one knew it hadn't been fired in the 33 years since her mother had left it to her. It wasn't true that she knew everyone on Gorse and Cinda by sight, of course. But nearly a third of a century of surveillance had put a lot of troublemakers on her watch lists. And many of them seemed to wind up down here, in the pits. Some miners acted as if the neighborhood, settled to be close to the old quarries, was a decent place to live now that the strip mining had long since ended. Perhaps for them it was. But in her experience, roustabouts were trouble waiting to happen. She'd monitored too many bar fights in the pits, watched dozens of people being shaken down on the streets for money or sport. Whatever the firms paid the miners, it wasn't enough to keep some of them from hassling good folks for cash. And again, if they were paid more, they'd just drink more. And that seemed to make them all the worse. The encounter was just one more headache in a day filled with them. After Heto's arrest, the remaining surveillance staffers at Transept had worked their overtime in silence. Everyone afraid to say anything. Every operator's background was potentially under review, if the Imperial Lieutenant was to be believed. Zeluna had hoped that finding the suspect Skelly again would make up for the Minox not having flagged him for capture earlier. But her hopes fell when she learned that Skelly had escaped from Moonglow's offices before the stormtroopers could arrive. At least no one suspected the Minox of signaling him. The factory supervisor had spent an hour defending her security team from the stormtroopers' insults. Still, Zeluna expected difficult days ahead for everyone at the Transept office. And even if nothing happened, a job she enjoyed working at would never be fun again. It was a strange thing. So many people on Gorse lived in fear, especially Sullustans and others of smaller stature. Yet working with the Minox, she'd felt somewhat immune. There was safety in isolation, security in having information. Yes, her kind of work did have the potential to create problems for others, but she'd suppressed any consideration of that on the grounds that so many of the people she eavesdropped on were bad characters, likely to hassle a poor working woman on a darkened street. But increasingly, there had been fewer and fewer roughnecks being targeted for snooping, and more people like, well, like Heto. And now Heto himself, who faced an unknown fate. It hadn't made sense to anyone on the work floor. Sure, Heto had complained about working conditions and pay, but who didn't? Yes, he'd thought what the Empire had done to the once magnificent caverns of Cinda was an abomination. But that was both old news and a common feeling on Gorse. But the data cube was another thing. And Zeluna now knew it was the reason he'd been targeted. When the shift ended, she'd fled home to see what it was Heto had given her. He hadn't given her permission to read what was on the data cube, but it wouldn't be her first time to pry. And she had no intention of passing something along to this Hera person without checking it out first. She'd used a reader she'd first owned as a teenager, safely detached from the holonet, and studied the contents of the data cube in her closet for good measure. The contents were encrypted using a commercial program, but Zeluna had worked several years in electronic data collection and soon found her way past the protections. She was amazed at what she discovered. Somehow, Heto had managed to download the files Transept kept on everyone it had ever watched on Gorse and its moon, from way back in the Republic era to the present. She thought for a moment this Hera might be from a rival surveillance firm. Corporate espionage, spying on the spies for profit. Heto, always broke, could have been hoping for a payoff. She didn't want any part of a transaction like that. But thinking on it, she realized Transept sold data to its competitors all the time, and sometimes on a massive scale. This act didn't seem necessary. Looking more closely at it, Zeluna realized that the bounty of personal information on the data cube wasn't the important part. Its existence served as a guide to the state of the art in surveillance means. Every image, every voice recording, every bioscan, every electronic communication tied to names in the files was tagged with information describing how it had been obtained. With it, a reader knew the location of every surveillance point on Transept's local grid. Who would need something like that? Maybe it was another Skelly. Some crank or mad bomber looking to know the Empire's capabilities in order to create more mischief. She wouldn't want to be a part of that. But Heto wasn't that kind of person. And that suggested someone else who might want it. Someone who cared about what the Empire was doing to the people of Gorse. Someone who cared as much as Zeluna did. If there was a chance Hera was of that sort, it was worth a conversation, no matter what the danger to Zeluna. One conversation, no more. She had no desire to end up like him. But Heto deserved that much. It had to be done in secret, though. And that was why her destination bewildered her. The asteroid belt? She hadn't set foot in a cantina in 30 years, but she'd seen enough video to wonder why anyone would ever consider one a place for a surreptitious meeting. So many eyes, so many ears. Not to mention the sensory organs of nature she'd never imagined, belonging to all the other species that frequented cantinas. Running on adrenaline, she unpacked all her devices from the training programs she'd been through years earlier, when she'd learned best practices for placing hidden cams and mics, and for locating existing ones for repair based on their subspace emissions. Detecting them before they detected her. That would be her edge, she thought. She saw the sign up ahead. There was no sense waiting outside any longer.
Heto, you poor, reckless soul. This is for you.
She drew the cloak tightly around her and stepped toward the building. Chapter 19. The broken-toothed miner spotted Kanan as soon as the pilot stomped into the asteroid belt.
I've been looking for you,
the burly man snarled.
We still got a fight from last night to finish.
Bruised and dirtied from the Shaketown episode, Kanan started to walk right by. Then his gloved hand shot out, grabbing the miner by the scruff of his hairy neck. Kanan yanked hard, bringing the man's face down with a smash onto an adjacent table, knocking cards and credits from the Sabacc game there astray. The startled card players watched in amazement as Kanan pulled the dazed man off their table and then climbed on top of it himself.
Now hear this,
he yelled to the dozens of patrons crowding the big cantina.
I have had enough of today. Anyone who hassles me goes to the med center.
The Empire closed the med center,
someone yelled.
Correction. Anyone who hassles me goes to the morgue. That is all.
In a single swift motion, he reached down for the mug of ale by his feet, the one that had belonged to the guy on the floor. He drank the contents in one swig and stepped down from the table. From his regular station behind the bar, old Okadiah eyed him.
You astound, Kanan. You look as though you've been through a bar fight, and yet I could swear you just arrived a minute ago.
That's because I was in a bar fight, Kanan said, rubbing his jaw. Philo's fueling station, over in Shaketown.
But that's not supposed to reopen for 3 months.
It'll be a little longer,
Kanan said, reaching over the counter to grab a bottle. Okadiah shined a glass.
One can only surmise the involvement of a woman.
Add stupidity and mix well, Kanan said. But what a woman. She was wearing a hood when I first saw her, but her eyes are amazing. And she's got moves. I'm telling you, Oak, if she were to walk in here right now...
I think you have your wish, Okadiah said, pointing.
Huh?
Kanan looked behind him, expectantly. Peering in through the partially open door was a Sulliston woman in a rose-colored poncho. Clutching a little blue bag in her hands, she cautiously peeked this way and that.
Hood, check. Eyes, check, Okadiah said, smirking. But I'm not sure I'll ever understand your type.
The woman slipped inside. The door slammed noisily behind her, startling her for just an instant. But she quickly made her way to a table in the corner. And then another, and then another, working her way across the room as if she were trying to avoid being seen by someone that only she saw. Kanan watched, puzzled.
What do you make of that?
Perhaps the tax agent's in town, Okadiah said.
Finally arriving near the bar, the Sulliston woman looked in three different directions. Then she bolted across the space, arriving next to the seat at the far end of the counter near Kanan. Okadiah bowed.
Welcome to my establishment, young lady. My friend here is a great admirer.
Kanan glared at Okadiah.
It's not her, you imbecile.
Okadiah smiled.
Can we help you with something?
Her big eyes looked up at Kanan, and her intense expression softened a little, as if with recognition.
There is something. The bar. Would you mind if I went to the other side of it?
Kanan goggled.
You want to sit on the barkeep side of the bar?
Kanan does it all the time, Okadiah said. He sleeps there, too.
Lady, Kanan said. There are no stools on that side.
That's okay,
the woman replied, her eyes scanning the ceiling.
I don't want a chair. I want to sit on the floor.
Kanan and Okadiah looked across the bar at each other, puzzled. Then they both shrugged, and the woman darted around the opening and behind the bar. Kanan saw her disappear.
I hate to miss anything, Okadiah said. But a host must entertain. Jairus, lad, hold the fort.
He pitched his towel to Kanan and bowed to the huddled woman.
Let's talk again sometime, he said,
exiting from behind the counter. Kanan grabbed Okadiah's shirt as he passed.
This is weird. What am I supposed to say to her?
You'll be back there with all the booze. Offer her a drink. Or have one yourself.
Kanan weighed the facts and realized his friend had made an excellent suggestion. Hoisting his body onto the bar, he deposited himself on the other side of the counter. There, he saw the Sulliston woman sitting on the floor, leaning back with her head and shoulders inside the cabinet beneath the sink.
Hey, what are you doing in there?
It'll be just a second,
she called out. Kanan waited. Perhaps she had a lifelong ambition to be a plumber. She peeked out.
Excuse me, can you hand me the cutter in my bag?
Stupefied, Kanan did as he was asked. The little bag was packed to overflowing with electronic gadgets.
Thank you,
she said, taking the tool. A few seconds later, she emerged with a look of satisfaction.
There, taken care of.
Kanan offered his hand to help her up.
What did you do?
Neutralize the surveillance cams in here,
she said, getting to her feet.
Thanks for the help.
There are cams in here?
There are cams everywhere,
the woman said, brushing herself off. Seeming much more at ease, she removed her poncho, revealing a dark-colored outfit.
That's what I was doing when I came in, moving between the blind spots. I figured Transept hid the transmitter relay behind the bar. That's a favorite spot for cantinas. No one ever wants to clean under the sink.
She put her tool back in her bag.
I cut the power to the whole system.
Kanan looked around the room. He still couldn't see where the cams were.
Don't worry. I made it look as if a rodent chewed into the works. Happens all the time. Someone pretending to be an ale distributor will be by next week to repair everything.
If you say so. Kanan took a deep breath, wondering if he'd ever done anything other than get soused in the place. Knowing he hadn't, he shook off the paranoia.
How do you know this, Saluna?
She stared at him, suddenly serious again. Big eyes got even wider.
How do you know my name?
It's on your name badge. There, Kanan said, pointing.
The woman looked at him, and then down at the official badge clipped to her work clothes.
Oh,
she said, disgusted, ripping the tag off and putting it in her bag.
I guess I'm not very good at this.
At what? Regaining her composure, Zaluna glanced at Kanan and smiled primly.
I am just another customer visiting a cantina. You should pay me no mind.
Okay,
Kanan said, turning away to the bottles.
But I could use a little more help.
Kanan looked over his shoulder.
Look, ma'am, I've had a long day. I'm really not in the mood to help anyone.
But you will.
Zaluna leaned against the bar and smiled gently.
I know you. I've seen you working on Cinda.
How? I haven't seen you there.
Zaluna didn't explain.
You help people. I've seen you do it before. And I saw you saving your friend from Count Vidian today.
You saw me?
Zaluna didn't elaborate. But she smiled, a little ashamed of what she'd revealed.
That's one of the rare pleasures of my world. You spend all your time watching for bad people, and you want to forget what you see. But the good ones, those you remember.
Kanan stared. None of what Zaluna was saying made sense. The woman, he now realized, reminded him of Jocasta Nu, the Jedi librarian. They didn't look anything alike, of course. But Jocasta always seemed to know everything, and acted like knowing everything was nothing. That was definitely in this woman's manner.
What do you want help with?
Zaluna looked into the teeming crowd.
I'm supposed to meet someone, but I don't know what they look like.
You don't know what everyone looks like?
Not this time. And I need to keep a low profile. Can you look for me?
Kanan looked down and put his hands before him.
Zaluna, I don't know who you are or who you think I am, but you do not know me. I do not go around randomly helping people.
That's not what I've heard about you, came a voice from the far end of the bar. The voice. Kanan decided to play it cool as he turned.
They always seek you out, brother.
Hey there, Hera, he said, smiling confidently. What can I get you?
Chapter 20. The Jedi Order was more than an unpaid police force, more than just an exercise club that was into metaphysics. It was a way of life, based on the Jedi Code, and a lot of rules for living that weren't in the code, that had been tacked on later. One was that Jedi avoided becoming involved in romantic relationships. Once on the run, Kanan Jarrus had found that rule pretty easy to forget about. Hera's visit here, now, wasn't any kind of date, but she was a lovely woman, wanting a private conversation, and from his earlier experiences, he knew just the spot. The asteroid belt had a nice, secluded table in the back, where the light was just right, and where you were out of the stumbling line of the drunks and the brawlers. But never in his past visits to the table had he brought along a short, gray chaperone. And Zaluna was talking more with Hera than he was. After being sent to the bar for something for the third time by Hera, Kanan had started to suspect that the Twi'lek really had come here looking for Zaluna after all, and not him. The two were chatting closely when Kanan returned to the table with the coasters Hera had requested. It was time to step things up.
You can stop talking about how much you miss me, ladies. I'm back.
Great, Hera said, in a tone that, for the first time, wasn't music to Kanan's ears. She seemed annoyed at having been interrupted, but he wasn't going to let that deter him. Looking down, he saw that the chair he'd been sitting in was pushed well away from the table, out into the aisle. Hera's foot had pushed it there, he realized.
So much for gratitude over being saved. Standing room only tonight, he said, grabbing the chair and chuckling. Good thing nobody else grabbed this.
Good thing, Hera repeated. Kanan spun the chair around backward and straddled it as he sat down, putting his chest against the back of the chair and crossing his arms over the top of it, a move intended to bring him fully into the conversation.
So, what'd I miss?
Hera looked at him with impatience, until Zelluna reached out and touched her hand.
I think you can trust him. I've watched him longer than you have. He helps people, though he makes a show of doing otherwise. He stood up to Vidian just today.
I saw, Hera said.
You did?
Kanan asked, slack-jawed. Hera seemed to fret.
It's still not smart. You protect secrets by keeping the circle small. And you protect yourself by having a witness,
Zelluna said.
I've been a professional witness my whole life. If we're really going to discuss this, I'd like one now.
She regarded Kanan.
He'll do.
Kanan slumped in his chair and shrugged.
I'll do?
What's going on here? Hera seemed to reach a decision. She leaned across the table, her hands clasped together.
All right. I'd come here to meet this guy I met on the Holonet.
Oh, well, there's your first mistake, Kanan proclaimed. I could have told you.
But before he could finish his sentence, Hera flashed Kanan a smile that was only slightly patronizing.
Can it wait?
Mildly chastened, Kanan shut his mouth.
I was looking for a man named Heto. He and Zelluna both work for a company with a surveillance contract for the Empire. Heto had grown worried about what he saw as abuses of authority, and he had already been in contact with other concerned parties.
Kanan could tell from the way Hera pronounced the words that she didn't want to elaborate too much about that. But she did say that it was Heto she was supposed to have met, until his arrest changed that.
He was arrested for trying to meet you,
Zelluna said, shaking her head.
It wasn't just that,
Hera said, sounding soothing.
You know that. Heto was aware, Zelluna. Awake to all the things the Empire is doing. This meeting, it was him reaching out, trying to do something. You were brave to take it on yourself, to finish what he started. I'm not brave,
Zelluna said, her voice a little shaky.
I'm an old fool. I remember too much. I remember how it was, and how it got worse. Even before the Empire. I remember when people didn't kill guildmasters on a whim and walk away without a thought.
Her black eyes glistened.
And I remember when my people were safe. Those employees of mine are my children. And now one of them is in deep trouble.
She focused on Hera.
Will they kill Heto?
Hera didn't seem to know what to say. Zelluna closed her huge eyes, mournful. Kanan reached out and patted her hand.
Hey there. Maybe your friend's just in a labor camp.
Kanan is right,
Hera said. A phrase he thought sounded wonderful coming from her, whether she meant it or not.
Heto is a talented person, and they'll want to keep him around. Maybe even doing work like he is now. Just someplace else.
Yeah, and maybe they even have daylight there,
Kanan said. He smiled awkwardly at Hera and shrugged. Recovering her composure, Zelluna reached into her bag and pulled out a data cube. It was bigger than the storage device Kanan had seen Skelly waving around.
"This is what Heto wanted you to have."
She peered up at Hera.
"You know what's on it?"
"I think so,"
Hera said. She reached into a pocket and withdrew a small reading device.
"May I?"
Zelluna paused, suddenly reluctant.
"This is it, isn't it? This is the moment."
Glancing all around the bar, she took a deep breath.
"It's exciting, almost, being on this side of the cams. You wonder who else is here."
"There's no Imperial agents here, if that's what you're asking," Kanan said. He looked back across the room. "These are all 100% pure shovel-carrying drunkards.
I've tussled with too many of them to think they're plans for the Empire."
Hera looked at him.
"And what do you think about the Empire?"
"As little as possible," he said. "I could take it or leave it."
She sounded disappointed, Kanan thought, but only a little. Clearly, Hera was politically aware. He knew the sort. Having wooed a university woman or 10 on more upscale worlds. But those women had all aggressively tried to get him to care about their causes of the weak. Hera was letting him be, at least for the moment. Good for her.
"You can look at it,"
Zelluna finally decided, offering the data cube.
"That's what Heto wanted. But maybe you'd better give it right back afterward. Okay?"
"Okay,"
Hera said. Taking it, she plugged it into her device and began reading. Kanan saw her eyes widening as she read, and he realized she was savoring something wonderful.
"Juicy stuff?"
"Mm-hmm."
She manipulated the device for several minutes.
"This is huge. It's not just the information, it's how it was retrieved. The Empire is everywhere."
"But not omniscient,"
Zelluna said.
"Eyes and ears can fail."
She nodded to what Hera was holding.
"Study that long enough, and you'd see where they fall short."
"This section here. What are these names?"
Zelluna examined what Hera was looking at and cleared her throat.
"That's different. Those are all the requests made on the Imperial channel to the Transept database. People they're interested in. Background checks. Video files being pulled."
Kanan took a peek as Hera paged through lists of names. He still couldn't believe any of this business was real.
"I think Heto was downloading right up until a few minutes before he was arrested,"
Zelluna said.
"There are some really recent ones in there."
Hera pointed to a name.
"What's this very last one? Lemuel Tharsa?"
"That's one of the command-level requests from the Star Destroyer. Somebody important wanted to know about him."
"Command-level? Like the Captain? Or Count Vidian?"
"I suppose."
"And who is Lemuel Tharsa?"
"The name doesn't sound familiar,"
Zelluna said. She took the cube and reader from Hera and ran a search.
"Someone by that name did visit the planet 20 years ago. Someone started a file on him, at least. No details, though."
"Why would they be looking for someone like that?" Hera asked.
"No idea. Sorry, there's not more. Back in the commercial surveillance days, there were more legal limits to tracking."
Zelluna passed the cube and the reader back to Hera.
"Of course, I probably saw the guy back then, if it was even the same person. Maybe something will jog my memory."
Kanan chuckled.
"Well, you people spy on millions of people. I wouldn't expect you to..."
"Kanan Jarrus, human male, early 20s,
Zelluna said, looking up at him.
"Freighter pilot, dangerous cargo. Flight clearance 7. Emigrated to Gorse 5 months ago from..."
Kanan grabbed her wrist.
"Okay, you're spooky. I get it."
His mouth went dry, and he reached for his drink.
This is good,
Hera said, detaching the reader and passing the data cube back to the woman.
Very good. Very worth Heto's sacrifice. And yours. May I have it long enough to copy it? I'm busy with the reason I'm here, but for this, I'd make time.
Kanan's eyebrow went up.
I thought meeting her was the reason you were here.
Hera looked at him kindly.
Kanan, I appreciate what you did for me back in Shaketown, and also your hosting us here. But I've done all I'm going to do to satisfy your curiosity. So...
Oh, no!
Hera and Kanan looked at Zelluna.
He's here,
the Celestine woman said, looking into the crowd.
Why would he be here now?
Kanan looked around, but could only see the bustling patrons.
What?
Who's here?
What is it, Zelluna?
Hera asked, worried.
The Empire?
Having already made a decision, Zelluna stuffed the data cube into her bag and stood.
This is too much. I have to go.
She turned from the table and headed for the side door.
Goodbye.
Kanan and Hera looked at each other, puzzled. Until they became aware of a figure in a tan overcoat standing nearby.
Kanan! Just the guy I'm looking for, Skelly said, peering out from beneath his hood. And I see you've met my friend!
Chapter 21
You! I thought I'd gotten rid of you!
Skelly stretched out his hands and smiled broadly at Kanan.
Hello to you, too! He said, speaking loudly. Don't get up!
Kanan did get up. He grabbed the startled fugitive by the back of the neck and forcibly shoved him down into the seat Zelluna had been occupying.
This is a room full of miners who think you tried to crush them to death.
That's all wrong! Skelly started to rise. Look, I could tell them I...
Sit down!
Kanan barked, shoving him downward. He looked around the room to see who had noticed. Thankfully, it was chaos as usual. A term that was quickly coming to describe his entire evening.
Why did...
Hera started to say.
Our friend, the Celestine. She ran out of here when she saw you. Why?
No idea,
Skelly said.
She probably met him in an elevator once,
Kanan said. Skelly pointed at Hera with his good hand.
You should be careful around this woman, Kanan. I don't think she is who she says she is.
Thanks for the advice, but she hasn't said anything yet.
Hera stood and glanced at Kanan.
I should see where she ran off to. I'll be back.
No, wait!
He rose and touched her shoulder.
Sit with Skelly. Make sure he doesn't do... Well, anything. Anything at all.
Kanan walked quickly back along the bar. Reaching the side door, he saw nothing outside but Okadiah's aged hoverbus parked in the moonlight. He saw Skelly and Hera talking furtively when he returned. Did they really know each other?
Couldn't see her,
he announced. Hera frowned.
She'd know Skelly was wanted,
she reasoned.
Maybe she'll come back when he's gone.
Sitting down, Kanan faced Skelly.
What are you doing here in the first place? Who let you go?
Skelly pointed.
She did!
Kanan looked at Hera and gawked.
What?
Hera simply nodded and shrugged.
When? Where?
At Moonglow, she said. He was being held prisoner. I set him free.
Why?
It seemed like the thing to do.
What? Like activating a thermal detonator?
Kanan couldn't believe it. She seemed unconcerned.
It seemed safe. There weren't any reports of casualties from the moon.
I was nearly one. He's a biological weapon.
He clapped his hand on Skelly's sleeve.
Now will you please get out of here?
I'll go,
Skelly said, pulling his hand back.
But I came to see you because I need a favor.
This should be good.
Vidian's coming to inspect Moonglow in a few hours,
Skelly said. Hera's interest was piqued.
That's odd. I thought Moonglow was a small operation.
I overheard him telling Lal. The stormtroopers have already put up a security cordon around that part of Shaketown. So I'll need your ID to get me onto the grounds, old buddy.
Kanan took a large swallow of his drink, then asked, "My what?"
You said you were going to quit anyway, right? Just let me borrow your badge. I'll give it back after I've made my case to Vidian.
I won't get it back, because they're going to shoot you in the head. And Vidian will have a ball watching. Kanan shook his head. That guy's horrible.
He's brilliant. He doesn't take any guff from corporate types.
That's for sure, Hera said. He kills them.
I know a few who deserve it. From what I hear, he does what needs doing.
With his left hand, he gestured to his motionless right hand.
And he's not ashamed of his cybernetics. I think he talks my language. We'll consult like two professionals. I'll save the moon, and then I'll go.
This is the dumbest plan I've ever heard. Kanan looked over at Hera in disbelief. This is what you let loose. Hera sighed.
I saw someone with a grievance. I wanted to know what it was before the Empire rubbed him out. I wanted to know if he was worth knowing.
She fixed her eyes on Kanan and spoke calmly.
You can't always guess what role someone will play.
You can't pick your friends, you mean?
Oh, I'm very selective.
I bet.
I have high standards, Hera said. Only very special people are going to be able to help me right now.
Like Skelly? Or her?
Kanan gestured with his thumb to the door Zaluna had left through.
No, probably not.
She smiled charitably.
And not even you. I thank you for earlier, but you're not going to be able to help me.
Help you do what?
She smiled gently.
If you have to ask, you're not ready to know.
She rose.
And now I really need to go. The Empire's still looking for Skelly. And if they break Heto, they could know about my rendezvous.
Before Kanan could respond, he heard the front door being kicked open.
Two stormtroopers appeared there. Turning, he saw two more coming in through the side door. Hera saw them too. She sighed.
Speak of the Empire and it will appear.
Crouching behind a garbage bin, Zaluna struggled to calm down. She'd been right to move when she did. Every Imperial on Gorse was looking for Skelly, and bounty had probably been offered. She didn't know whether he was guilty of what he'd been accused of, but she wasn't going to sit around possibly betraying the Empire while he was anywhere nearby.
Treason!
That was what she'd just committed, she realized. Zaluna's breaths came quickly as she looked down at the ground and her open bag. The data cube was there, glinting in the moonlight. By showing the object and its contents to Hera, Zaluna had just thrown away 30-plus years of faithful service. And for what? To help a woman who might be in league with a mad bomber?
Skelly had seemed to recognize Hera. Had his whole tussle with Kanan on the moon been a fraud? To trap her?
Entrapment had been a concern going in, and she'd taken a few steps to prepare for that. They hadn't included an escape route on this side of the building, however. Hearing the clatter of armor as stormtroopers ran past, Zaluna looked furtively for some place to hide the data cube or something to smash it with. There was nothing. Even the garbage bin was locked.
As the sound of another transport came from the street beyond, Zaluna saw her only possible sanctuary looming large and dark up the alley.
She picked up her bag and ran for it. Either those years in the transept exercise room would save her, or they wouldn't.
The clamor inside the asteroid belt lessened only a little as the stormtroopers, one male and three female, made their way inside. Blasters handy, but not raised. Kanan saw Okadiah leave his sabacc game long enough to greet them.
Welcome, officers, welcome! Happy hour all night.
Kanan shot a concerned look at Hera.
Only two ways out of here, he said.
I know. I checked before I came in.
Of course you did, Kanan thought. Skelly stood up and reached for his hood.
I've had enough of this, he said, beginning to remove his cowl. I'm trying to see Vidian anyway. I'll just go with them.
No,
no,
Kanan and Hera said in unison, each grabbing an arm and jerking Skelly down. Kanan yanked the top of the hood forward so it was almost covering Skelly's nose. The stormtroopers began working their way through the room.
Have you seen this woman?
Speaking to individual patrons.
What about this man?
The drunks weren't cooperating,
over
and the stormtroopers weren't being gentle in return.
I'm on official Empire business.
Side door?
Hera asked. Kanan shook his head.
Hear that sound?
Hera concentrated for a moment.
Just the bar.
There's a personnel carrier idling out there. Must be more stormtroopers.
Hera glanced at the exit.
Couldn't it be the hover bus?
Different sound.
Only he and Okadiah had the activation code, anyway. Kanan looked around the bar, furtively, until his eyes fixed on the short hallway directly behind their table. Kanan glanced back to make sure the stormtroopers weren't looking his way. Seeing his moment, he stood, grasping Skelly's arm tightly.
Quick!
He said, making for the corridor.
You two!
But that doesn't lead outside, Hera said.
Just follow, and do exactly what I say.
Chapter 22.
You there!
Me there?
Kanan said, emerging alone from the short hallway with a white towel in his hand. Less than a minute had passed, and two of the stormtroopers had reached the table he'd vacated.
We're searching this establishment,
the one with the female voice said.
For what?
A spy. Here to meet a traitor.
The male trooper shoved past Kanan and entered the short hallway.
You're kidding,
Kanan laughed.
Have a look around,
he said, picking up his empty mug from the table and rubbing it with the cloth.
If your spy's here tonight, he's blasted off his boosters.
The female stormtrooper surveyed the cheering crowd. A blitzed Ugnaught, snout-faced and only a meter tall, was riding drunkenly around on the head of a similarly soused Ithorian. The brown-hided, hammer-headed Titan had a pitcher in each long-fingered hand and was lumbering around trying to serve both himself and his small passenger at the same time without spilling any ale. A normal night for the asteroid belt, in all respects.
Maybe that's your traitors there,
Kanan said, pointing to them with a smile.
Never mind. We're also looking for a pilot from Moonglow. We don't have pictures of him yet, but he's a witness. The bomber stowed away on his ship. We were told he lives here.
On the floor, maybe,
Kanan said, walking to set the empty mug on the bar.
These pilots are in one night, out another.
He reached for an empty bottle and pitched it in the trash.
I'm just the bartender. Can I get you something?
From down the short hallway, the other stormtrooper called out.
There's someone behind this door.
Uh-oh,
Kanan said, stepping lively to get there first. There was a small door to the left at the end of the corridor, and the stormtrooper that Kanan had seen earlier was about to kick it in. Kanan stepped up and raised his hand.
You really don't want to go in there.
The stormtrooper looked up at Kanan, helmeted head tilted slightly in puzzlement. And then they all heard it. The loudest, most sickening, retching sound coming from behind the door. Something metallic inside banged loudly against the wall and then against the door before the horrible heaving noise began again.
It's one of the Wookiees, Kanan said, shaking his head. Always thinks he can handle Trandoshan ale. That stuff can take the finish off a landspeeder.
The female stormtrooper didn't turn away.
but that doesn't sound...
She was interrupted with a horrific symphony of heaving, louder than before. Kanan looked behind the armored pair.
Bring the heavy stuff, Leda!
Excuse me.
Hera, wearing a long apron, appeared in the open doorway on the other side of the hallway. She exited the storage room holding a mop in one hand and a carrying case of industrial-strength cleansers in the other. While the stormtroopers watched, she set the case down outside the door and reached in to find several cloth face masks. She tied one over her face, and then another.
You'll want to get back,
she said to the watchers as she placed the third shield over her mouth.
I don't know if those suits will protect you.
Came another miserable howl from behind the door. The pounding resumed.
I think we'll move along,
the female stormtrooper said. Her partner's body language showed immediate relief.
If you see any suspicious characters, call the authorities.
Gotcha,
Kanan said. Once the front doors closed behind the stormtroopers, Kanan whipped out a key and opened the door. There, inside a small storage closet, squatted a terrified Skelly, holding a metal pail in his hands.
Was that loud enough?
He said, yelling into the pail and producing a noisy echo.
Get out of there,
Kanan said, grabbing at him.
And get out of here!
Keeping the hood pulled low over Skelly's head, Kanan shoved him back into the main room, along the bar and out the side door. The stormtroopers and the transport were gone. Only Okadiah's hoverbus remained. Reaching the stoop, Skelly lifted his cowl and called back plaintively.
So, do I get that ID badge or not?
Kanan answered by slamming the door and locking it. Hera was leaning against the bar, apron removed when he turned.
Nice tactics there, Kanan.
He could tell from her expression that she was impressed.
If you want them to leave, make them want to leave. Very smooth.
I've got a lot of experience avoiding stormtroopers.
Oh?
She said.
Why's that?
I don't like their fashion sense.
She smiled.
Come here.
Kanan did, and was pleasantly surprised when she reached out to touch him.
You've been holding out on me,
she said, running her finger along the collar of his shirt.
I'd never do such a thing.
He sidled up closer to her, surprised by this new attitude. If excitement turned her friendly, he wasn't going to object.
You can have anything you want.
Great,
she said.
I want your moon glow pass.
I'd be...
Kanan said before her response registered.
You want what?
Your pass,
she said, and jabbed her hand inside his neckline to grab at something. She pulled out a gold-colored card, secured around his neck with a lanyard.
You work at Moonglow. I didn't know that until Skelly mentioned it. I want your pass to get on the grounds.
I don't think you can just...
I've seen the gate. It's automated.
She made a swish-swish motion with her hand.
Simple.
Wait, why do you want to get into the factory?
Denetrius Fidian.
Ew,
Kanan said. He walked back over to the bar where many of his friends beckoned in comforting glass containers.
Believe me, sweetheart, I'm much better looking.
I know what he looks like,
she said, following him to the counter.
He's the reason I'm here.
That's even worse,
Kanan said. He began pouring them drinks.
Look, I know there's no accounting for taste, but you're way too good for someone like him.
I'm not in a relationship with him. I'm trying to find out why he's here.
I'd have thought that was obvious. He's here to get more blood out of stones, or thorolide out of crystals.
Handing her a glass, he joined her on her side of the counter. She was really serious about this... whatever that she was into.
I never have figured out why the Empire needs so much thorolide.
Hera shook her head.
That's not the mystery here. They're building Star Destroyers at a rate to put one in every home. The mystery is why Gorse, she said. And why now?
What do you mean?
They were already kicking the stuffing out of you guys to speed you up before Bidian showed up. That's why your pal Skelly...
Not my pal.
It's why Skelly and a lot of people like him have been so vocal. Gorse and Cinda were not worlds the Empire was honoring with its negligence.
Careful,
Kanan said, taking the excuse to lean closer to her and show her his winning smile.
Treasonous words there.
I think I'll trust Aluna's surveillance sweep. So explain to me this,
she asked.
Vidian's administrative domain is centered on Kalkaron, sectors away. But lately, his whole Imperial career seems to have led him toward one goal, getting authority over Gorse and Cinda. And the second he got it, he called up an Imperial escort to take him here.
She ticked off the mysteries on her fingers.
Now, does that seem strange?
Strange that a smart person has nothing better to obsess over than the life of some Imperial weirdo,
Kanan said, shaking his head in disbelief.
Why do you care? Because where Vidian goes, pain follows. Friends of mine have vanished. Their worlds have suffered. But everybody wants something. If I can find out what he's after, maybe I can do something about it.
Kanan shook his head. What was she? 18, maybe? Taking on an Imperial power broker?
Seriously, how did you come up with all this stuff?
I have eyes and ears. I read. I talk to people. I listen.
You talk to people like Skelly and Zaluna. You really are desperate. Skelly's a mess, and it didn't sound like Zaluna was looking to be a part of any of this. She was fulfilling a last request, not picking up a cause.
A distant look came to her eyes. A little sad, he thought.
No,
she said.
They're not really the sort of people who could be...
She stopped herself and started again.
They're not the sort I'm looking for.
Well, I could have told you that. I did, in fact.
He put his hand to his chest.
I'm another story. Very reliable. And I'm about to be available.
Available for what?
For whatever.
Kanan stood upright.
I'm leaving this planet, and I recommend the same for you. You've been fun to be around.
Street fights notwithstanding.
Forget this Vidian business. And we can go wandering.
She regarded him with skeptical amusement.
I don't think so,
Hera said.
We just met. I don't even know what you are.
Ask anyone!
Kanan waved over the heads of the drunken mob.
Okadiah! Tell her about me!
Unseen amid the drunken crowd, Okadiah called out,
A fine pilot, an occasional humanitarian, and a somewhat tolerable houseguest. Marry him, my darling!
That's an endorsement?
Hera asked, straining to see where the voice had come from.
Can he even see me?
Doesn't matter,
Kanan said.
Anyone will tell you.
I can do anything.
I don't want you to do anything.
I know the sector. I know people. I know people who know people.
He turned around.
Here, watch this. What was the name from Zaluna's list?
The guy the Empire was inquiring about?
She didn't miss a beat.
Lemuel Tharsa.
His eyes scanned the room.
Hang on,
he said.
Okadiah!
The old man stepped through the crowd toward them.
You beckoned?
Laying eyes on Hera, the old man bowed admiringly.
Oh, you definitely beckon.
Hera lowered her eyes and grinned.
Did you know a Lemuel Tharsa? Kanan asked.
I may have known several Lemuel Tharsas. Is there a shortage?
He was around 20 or so years ago,
Hera said.
I was wondering if you remembered who he was.
Okadiah shook his head.
It grieves me to disappoint you, my dear, but no. Never on one of my crews.
Hera nodded.
All right. Thank you.
Starting to turn away, Okadiah looked back.
Now, if he worked for the refineries or the guild administration, I wouldn't have seen him unless he came into the bar. You might ask Boss Lal. She's a lifer at Moonglow. From back in the days when it was Introsphere.